All right, so let's finish off our discussions of Masechta B'Kuvya. Mostly we finished off just to talk a little bit more about some of the other perspectives on Melech, and then we'll move on. So just one other ha'ara on Masechta B'Kuvya. As we discussed, so the positions range from seeing this as somehow connected to the broader issue of the relationship between Drabanans and Daraisas, and the question of the blurring of boundaries when it comes to that question, you know, the bigger Lo Sasser problem, again, whether, you know, a Mechuyev Drabanan could be Motzi, a Mechuyev Daraisa, whether Drabanan can cancel Daraisas, whether Drabanan can create statuses daraisas of daraisa, the differences between the drabanan and daraisas, whether we see this as part of that larger topic, or whether it's something much more specific to Shavuos Ha'edus, either because all we really care about or should care about is the shame aid, but then you have to figure out, you know, how vulnerable, let's say, how, you know, pristine is shame aid and dependent upon, you know, the abstract daraisa status, notwithstanding subsequent Dine Drabanan, or the opposite, that maybe Eide Birur is something which is highly sensitive, you know, kind of in the way that Shabbaprutta is, according to some. And again, the whole question of Mekadesh Bifnei Psuleidus Drabanan being connected a little bit to that as well. Or the opposite, and that is that Shavuos Ha'edus has, either nothing to do with pristine shame aid, or at least are two aspects or two requirements. And it's very much focused on the Hepsid Mammon component, as we discussed. Talked about the different Lashonos in the Sifra, and the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli, and the Rishonim, and so on. And that really everything plays out in terms of the actual effect. And then within that, you have an interesting drama, right? You have the mainstream view, formulated by the Bali Tosis and the Pashtus, which is that once is a psul drabanan, there's no effect whatsoever, as opposed to the Rajba and the Talmidei Rajba, and then again, everything that goes along with that. So just to complete the picture, just to highlight it further, there's a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, which some of the Achronim mentioned, in Simen Kuf Nun, where he wonders what the relationship is between Rav Papa and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in our Gemara, who are debating the effectiveness of Masechta B'Kuvya in Shavuos Ha'edus, and the connection to the Machlokas of Meir and Rav Yehuda in Masechet Sukkah, right? That Masechet keeps popping up. I think we're practically learning Sukkah this year also. So in Sukkah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, there's a famous discussion. Right in the second parak, right here. Second. Yeah. The Mishnah has a discussion. Osa sukasa berosha agala, or berosha svina, sheira, ve'olam babiyanto. What about berosha ila no agabe gamal? You're not allowed to climb up a tree, and you're not allowed to, you know, ride on an animal on Shabbos and in Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says, K'sheira vein olin la b'yom tov. That the sukkah is k'sheira, but you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to sit in that sukkah on Yom Tov for Shabbos, of Chalamar, the same halacha as well. So then the Gemara in Chav Gimel Amud Aleph says, Masnisa mani Rabbi Meir hi. The Tanu ha'osa sukkas al gabi behema, Rabbi Meir machshir Rabbi Yehuda posel, famous, my Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, my Kro, Chag HaSukkos Tassel Chal Shivas Yamin, Sukkah HaRu'uya L'Shiva, Shema Sukkah. Sukkah She'en HaRu'uya L'Shiva, Lo Shema Sukkah. And Rabbi Meir, Hanami Midaraisa Mechzi Chazi, Rabbanan Hu DeGazruba, a similar language to what we encountered in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Papa. So the Chacham Tzvi discusses this question, like, is this the same machlokas or not? And there are numerous other examples, obviously, of this type as well. So the answer is it is a kind of a parallel, but, you know, in each case it depends on how much we care about the you know, pragmatic impact of the din d'rabbanan. That's to say, let's say the din of sukkah kol shiva, right? Again, also could be looked at, and this is a huge debate, in two different ways. You know, one is that you know, we're talking about the mitzvah of sukkah d'araisa, and therefore we care, or we define the, you know, capacity for that to be, you know, your makom dira during sukkah according to d'araisa rules. But certainly you can also understand that you might take the other view, and that is that since this is about, you know, teishvu kein toduru, so in the end of the day, it depends lamaisa how, you know, how usable the place is. So in a royal, you know, l'shiva, even if you assume that you require, you know, royal l'shiva, which itself is a debate in sukkah, and an important debate, again, one which, if you do have the requirement of royal kol shiva itself, is an indication, right, that we're not just interested in the capacity piecemeal or discreetly to fulfill the mitzvah of shiva b'sukkah, but that we're talking about, like, in a more ambitious and holistic way, that this is your home, you know, for this week, the change of headquarters in a very, very real way. Therefore, according to one view, you know, it's not defined by every minute or even every day. It's defined by being roi l'kol shiva. So if it's requirement of roi l'kol shiva, so then you might very much say that that's a very pragmatic halacha. You have to really be able to use it. You still might be mechalek between something which is physically not so usable as opposed to something, you know, which is halachically not usable, albeit on the level of drabanan. So let's say you build a sukkah that is, you know, in a place where, you know, there's, you know, robbers, or it's, you know, the reyach ra, or, you know, there are bugs. You know, that's also a huge discussion in the Rishonim. The famous view of the Urayim goes further. The Urayim says if you have a sukkah that's not roi for something, then basically it's not roi for anything. Again, part of the holistic view of, you know, the high ambition of having a sukkah, which is, you know, albeit a diras haroi, but one which really fulfills, I guess, the function of being your real home for these days. So there are different places to draw the line. But obviously the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Huda, where the drabanans have a daraisa impact, you know, within the requirement, if you accept the requirement, we don't, of roi l'kol shiva, is you know, is a very interesting argument. So how parallel is that to us? The answer is it very much depends. The more formalistic our halacha is, the less there is any kind of impact. The more, you know, you look at it also in terms of lamaisa hepsid mamon, there really is a parallel. But either way, they're not the same din because, as we understand, in both cases there are issues to confront. There are issues about the nature of sukkah, and there are issues about the nature of chiyuv shvuas ha'edus. Only once you get past those and have an absolute parallel in terms of the types of requirements, do you then go to the next question, and that is, what's the relationship between drabanans and daraisas if you either need a formal status, and you only get that drabanan, does that count? Or anytime you need, or anytime it depends on more pragmatic considerations, you know, wouldn't you always think that it doesn't matter? So, yeah, so that, I just think the question highlights what we've been discussing and doing. Okay, now let's move on to Melech. So mostly we discussed Melech, we discussed the different views. We noted that, again, depends how you interpret the Rambam and the Chinuch, they may end up being much closer to the more mainstream views than we think. But just, you know, in terms of sketching or surveying what seems to be out there, what we try to explain is that the Chinuch at least seems to be saying that Melech is made without qualifications. And that's something that, you know, triggered a lot of discussion. Again, Michas Chinuch in particular was troubled by it. What, you know, what makes him worse than a Kohen Gadol, the Talmud Chacham? Again, if we want to keep the Chinuch to that, so then what we'll say is that there's good reason to think that the din kavod of a melech, right, is different than Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, even though it's in some cases more imposing and more demanding, right? In other areas of application, right, it is less compelling. Just as we saw again in the Ran in Sanhedrin and the Ritva in Shavuos, although you might be mechalik between the cases or the applications that they're talking about in this particular application, but that's one extreme. How that fits in, you know, with our Gemara, you know, becomes a bit of an issue and a problem, obviously. On the other side of it, we have the Rambam's view here in Shavuos, where the Rambam seems to say that not only is a melech, you know, not mechuyev lahayim, and not only does he have a heter to stay away, it sounds like in a rashai or in a roi, and then he goes even further by seemingly declaring that if he were to come to court and to be made, that ain't a do so edus. So that's the other extreme. And Pinchas Chinuch, who was, I said last time, I think, an equal opportunity critic, which is a good thing. I mean, he's willing to take on anybody who he thinks is making a mistake. So he has a minolon and a tema who for the Chinuch, and he has a minolon and a tema for the Rambam. Like, where did the Rambam get that from, that you go so far? And of course, in between those is the view of many, which is that, you know, we treat melech like Kohen Gadol, like Tosas in Sanhedrin, right? That, you know, melech is like Kohen Gadol. You know, in that case, I guess you would say, it's hard to know what's a kula and what's a chomra, but just as, let's say, Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol are going to be made lafrusha mi yisura, say the Bali Tosas, right? Hu adin melech. And within that middle view, let's say, namely that melech, you know, is not made, you know, default, and he's not, you know, mufka mi'edus to the point, or at least, you know, in a roi lahoid of the ene duso edus, between those two extremes, in this middle, we also might make distinctions. That's unlike Tosas, who seems to be comparing melech to Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham. Within the middle, you know, view, you might have said that there is a hierarchy, and maybe that hierarchy expresses itself, just as we know that for some of our Shem, it expresses itself in the difference even between Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, right, in the sense that lafrushe mi surah, or dine nefashos, right, so too, we might, you know, suggest that the differences between, maybe there are three levels, or maybe Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham are the same, and melech is different. Maybe, instead of saying what we said for the Chinuch, you know, which is that maybe melech is worse than Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham when it comes to Eidus, maybe it's superior, right, because they maso alecha. Again, what Rashi says on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph seems to go a little further than what the Gemara says about Talmud Chacham on Lamed Amud Beis. And even if we were to say that Kohen Gadol, as I say, lafrushe mi sura bin nefashos, maybe melech is different. Either way, what I was trying to point out was that the Rambam omits the discussion of melech from Perek Aleph of Hilchos Eidus, even though he does discuss Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol. And for those who are medayik in the Rambam, right, that Talmud Chacham is, of course, that's clear, that you don't need to be medayik, that Talmud Chacham is going to be made by Yisura, but that, here comes the diuk, that Kohen Gadol maybe is not, right, because it's not explicit that that distinction is made in Halacha Gimel. So maybe we have three levels, because we have Talmud Chacham, Kohen Gadol, but at least they're both in Hilchos Eidus and both discussed in Hilchos Eidus, and then we have Melech, right? Who, you know, isn't even mentioned there. Sounds like he's not even, you know, an issue. And then you look in Perek Yud, you know, it's either Eino Rashoi or Eino Roi, and Eino Duso Eidus, and we definitely didn't say anything like that about either Talmud Chacham or Kohen Gadol. That doesn't have to mean that he is Mufke Legamri from the shame aid. As we'll discuss in a minute, but maybe in terms of Chiyuv Agada, right, there's a difference. And especially if we're not sure what, V'yeshto Lehimana means in Hilchos Eidus, certainly if we interpret it like the Minchas Chinuch and the Chinuch, meaning that, you know, he could, but not necessarily that he should, It's crystal clear in Perek Hilchos Shavuos, Halacha Aleph, that he is not allowed to come to court. So that's certainly a difference. And the only question is, how far are we going to go with it? But the omission from Hilchos Eidos and the distinction becomes something that is very, very important. So that he is maybe mufka from the Chiyuv Haggadah. At minimum, we might say for the Rambam that he's mufka legamri from the Chiyuv Haggadah. And maybe that affects even Eduso Eidos. And that makes it different, as I say, than Kohen Gadol. So there are different perspectives in terms of how excluded Melech is vis-a-vis Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol and even other things. Yeah. So having said that, what remained to be discussed was the stira in the Rambam between Perek Yud Hilchos Shavuos Halacha Aleph and Perek Yud Hilchos Shgagos Halacha Zayin, right, where the Rambam seems to say that there is a Korban Shavuos Ha'edus for a Melech, and the Rambam takes him on, saying that's impossible because he's not made. So how can he be subject to Korban Shavuos Ha'edus? Right. So as we already noted, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos and Horios, right, makes it clear that he doesn't. We have three shittos, right? We have Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. And again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili was of the opinion that Melech is mufka from every korban olav yored, like Kohen Gadol, because they're not nitan, you know, ledalos. So they just don't have that korban korbanos at all, and therefore they don't have shuas eidos, just like they don't have shuas bitui and Tumas Mikdash Kadasha, they're just mufka from the parsha of Olam Yoreh, right? Then you have Rabbi Akiva, who says that that Melech is mufka specifically from Korban Shuas Ha'edus, but is included in other Olam Yoreh. And then you have the view of Rabbi Shimon, which Rambam says that he paskids like, which is that Melech, you know, is included and Kohen Gadol is included in Bitui and so on. And that's how the Rambam paskins. So questions, how does that square with what he seems explicitly to say in Perek Yud of Hilchos Shavuos, where he seems to say that Ein Eduso Eidos, and that is Mufka Mikarm Shavuos Eidos. Yeah.
The Rambam seems to paskin in that kind of spiritual shock, that Zion time, whatever he's talking about the Rabbanan against Rabbi Shimon. He says explicitly, Ein Halacha Rabbi Shimon, that he reads the Rabbanan, and saying that there is a fear Shavuos Eidos for Melech.
I thought he said clearly that he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva.
No, but in two Mishnahs later, on the Mishnah where Rabbi Shimon's quoting, he says, yeah. Rabbi Shimon, that, like, he reads the Rabbanan on Rabbi Shimon as saying that there is a fee of Shuas Aedos for Melech.
Okay, I mean, he's okay.
Same Shita, just
Fine. Yeah, I was just like zeroing in on Tesamad Aleph and Horios, but yeah. Okay, good. Right. But for the purposes of what we're talking about, you're right, but okay. So what do we do with this stira? So again, I just said something the other day, which I'll just repeat for 1 second because I want to add one just ha'ara to it, and that is that instead of trying to figure out a hechatimsi, which is what all the mefarshim did, and that, you know, definitely gives us reason to hesitate to say anything else, but I wanted to suggest that this isn't the first time that, you know, there is an actual or seems to be a discrepancy in the Rambam that maybe can be explained by understanding that, sometimes he writes conceptually and sometimes, he therefore implies a practical contradiction. And what I was suggesting was that from the perspective of Shavuos Ha'edus, the Rambam is telling us that Melech is Mufka and Lishitaso because he, more than anybody else, right, thinks that Melech really is Mufka. In other words, I just tried to explain. In other words, he says, in a Roy, or in a Rashoy, or in a Roy, he goes beyond Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol and doesn't include them together. And he says, basically, that Ein Eduso Eidos, which is a big chiddush, as the Midrash Chinuch notes. What the Rambam maybe was saying in Hilchos Horio, in Horios, in context, in Shkagos, is that in principle, the Rambam isn't mufka from this kind of, the Melech isn't mufka from this kind of korban, and that's why I think he also adds that, you know, then you have to look at the conditions that, you know, are mechayev you, shvuos ha'edus, you know, as well as other shvuos. I think that's his way of telling you that, you know, if you happen to look in, or you know, you should look, in Perek Yud of Hilchos Shavuos, you'll find out that what I'm saying here is an abstract comment. Because Lamaisa, he's not going to ever bring Korban Shavuos Eidos. But from a Hilchos Shgogos point of view, and especially in the background of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, namely, the idea that, you know, if you're trying to look at this from the perspective of the status of a melech and his, you know, standing in Hilchos Korbanos and Hilchos Shgogos, right, you know, to what, because that's a fascinating question. In other words, the idea that a Kohen Gadol and sometimes a Melech, right, that they have different dinim, that they can violate the same Aveira, right, and be treated differently in terms of their Korbanos, that's both a Hilchos Malachim and a Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, meaning the Kohen Gadol part, din, as well as a Hilchos Shkagos din. What does it say about the Korbanos if there are certain people, or Maisaveras that trigger Korbanos, or maybe the Korbanos themselves, if there are certain, you know, people who don't have it? And what does it say about those people? Presumably something about one, the other, or both. So from that point of view, the Rambam is saying, like, you know, really emphatically, you know, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right, who said that these people don't bring Olav Yored. The ha'ara that I want to add is that, you know, you still have to explain, the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos that it doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And again, whoever the cholek is. So I think what emerges is something very fascinating, and that is that Rabbi Akiva, as understood by the Rambam, and that's the Nekuda Samachlokas with his Bar Plukta, is basically saying that if Lemaisa, you know, because of Hilchos Shvuos Ha'edus Halachos, the Melech doesn't end up bringing, right, ever, let's say, a Korban Shvuos Ha'edus, according to my perspective, so then, you know, the reason for that, you know, is never self-contained. You know, it's because willy-nilly in the end, you know, there's still a Maisa Veira Chiyuv Korban difference between a Melech and a Hedyo. So in the end of the day, whatever the reason, that isn't just a result. Maybe that also ends up being a fact or a factor. And, you know, Lemaisa, it differentiates Melech from a Hilchos Shkagos. So according to Rabbi Akiva, what I'm saying is right, you'd have to say that even, you know, from a Hilchos Shkagos, the Hilchos Shvuos ends up affecting Hilchos Shkagos. Not Lemaisa, but even conceptually. And then maybe that's the Nakuda that the Rambam thinks is wrong. The Rambam's saying, no, you can be, you know, somebody who, you know, will never bring a Korban Shvuos Eidos, and that can remain, you know, a coincidence, you know, from the perspective of Hilchos Malachim, and or at least even more so, Hilchos Shkagos. So that's if I'm right, but we'll see in a moment, according to Tosfos Yontif, you have to say that's something a little more concrete, but the truth is that any explanation you give is going to make the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and his Bar Plukta very subtle. You know, for me, it's extremely subtle, and that's, I think, what it is. And we gave other examples where the Rambam, you know, sometimes does it. So let me just illustrate. I'll just take the questions first. Let me illustrate how it's a pretty subtle argument, even for others, although not this subtle. But yeah.
How do you understand how much the love of people die in this Mahalak? Because there, the Rambam seems to say that the only day that he's Mahalak, he's Mahalak, he's Mahalak, he's Mahalak, but within Mahalak, he's Mahalak, seems to be based on the idea of Balai Zerah, not because, let's say, institutional problem.
Yeah. That's how I would say it.
No, I'm saying, but in the,
meaning he's not mufka me'edu. All he's saying there, you're asking if you have the diuk.
Yeah,
that Malchai Beis David are made.
Well, more important, I think even for Malchai Yisrael would be a question. I mean, for Malchai Yisrael, the story he gives is that they can't be made, and Machlor is referring to...
No, but he's explaining why they can't be made and why they can't be done also, yeah. And why Ein Midin Aleihem. But in the end of the day, I think the most important thing that we come out with from Hilchos Malachim is the diuk that Malchai Beis David could be made. Yeah. So according to what I'm saying, they could be made. They're in the Parsha of Eidos.
Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons a little bit that helps a little bit with Hilchos Shkagos, because again, if they were Mufka Lagamri, maybe... You know, in other words, what he says in Perikud HaKasruos is still true. They're made, it doesn't work, right? But they're still me'idin. Well, number one, they still could be other nafkimin, which we'll get to in just a second. But according to, let's say, what I'm saying, what the Rambam's saying is that Malchei Yisrael, because of everything that he writes, you know, were midrabanan. Made Edim Psula. And that's not true for Malchei, I'm sorry, Malchei Yisrael. But it's not true for Malchei Beis David. Ain't Edus some Edus because...
But practically there's going to be no nothing, because both of them can't, meaning even before that zero for Malchei Yisrael, their testimony still wouldn't have accomplished anything.
But they weren't Mufkam Edus, put it that way.
Yeah, but their testimony wouldn't have...
Right, so but again, the Rambam isn't only speaking about Eidos there. He's talking about Din and what the Rambam is saying is the main point. Remember that the main gzeira in Yanai, which is Malchei Yisrael, was not because of Meid, right? It was because of Danin. So what he's saying is included in that also is Ein Midin Aleihem, right? Of course, and also perhaps Ein Midin. But you're right, there's no practical nafkamina, but, you know, it is still true. Unless you say that there'll still be some cases, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, where maybe they can be made, but maybe that's irrelevant for Shuas Eidos, for example. I'm avoiding saying that the difference between Perek Yud Hilchos Shuas, Halacha Aleph, and Perek Yud Hilchos Shkagos, Halacha Zayin, like some of the other mafarshim are going to say, we're going to see in just a second, is that one is talking about Eidos Isha, right, and the other is talking about Dinei Mamonos, because I just think, you know, that's very mechudash to say in these Rambams. But I'm not against saying that, right, for Perek Gimel Hilchos Malacha Malacha Zayin, if you want to actually find a nafkamina, right, of maid, I don't think that's impossible to say, although I don't think it's necessary to say, perhaps, either, right? So, in the end of the day, there could still be a nafkamina, whether, if the melech comes to court, whether Malchei Yisrael or Malchei Beis David, whether you let him testify in Eidos Nefashos or Eidos Isha. Again, you're actually much more flexible once you say that and that's all some of the problems too. Now, the big issue that troubled everybody with the Tosas Yom Tov, for example, fairly or unfairly, okay, I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself, but I'm assuming everybody saw it, is like the Tosfos Yom Tov has this idea, you know, of distinguishing between Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos, right? And then they all ask, but in Dinei Nefashos there's no Shuas Eidos. But that's not a problem for Perek Gimel Hilchos Malacha Malacha Zayin, right? So if you want, I have no problem at all, you know, with saying that there actually is Eidos Malchei Beis David out there. But there's still, in Perek Yud, Tilcha Shuas, Halacha Aleph, there's still no case of Korban Shuas Eidos, even though he's not Mufkami Korban Shuas Eidos from a Shgagos point of view in Perek Yud Halacha Zayin. Right? So if you want Nafkamina, I'm totally okay with that, as long as it's not a case of Korban Shuas Eidos, which kind of gets you back into, once you're saying that, then you might as well say what everybody else says. You don't need my added chiddush about the conceptual nature of the Rambam's work. Although I think that's true anyway. But maybe this would be too radical an example of it, because it really does seem like there's a stira. And I'm just saying, no, from the perspective of this, it's true, even though Lamaisa, and again, it does help me that he says, by the way, you know, take a look at what those conditions are. Ha ha.
Yeah,
you know.
The second point of that word, you said to be Mechakim Rabbi Akiva and then Ruah Bangor Olaganin.
Yeah.
Meaning, we gave like a Raya last time we spoke about that the Rambam will sometimes talk in conceptual terms versus pragmatic terms. Would the Mishnayos really think that? You can say that like Rabbi Akiva would be saying the pragmatic reality that they can't testify will reflect back on the conceptual understanding.
I mean, if we think, I mean, I think that, you know, if it's true for the Rambam, then it has to be true for the Rambam's understanding of Tanaim, right? And since I think that that way of thinking, I don't think it's always so obvious, but since I think that way of thinking is very, sometimes very compelling, and that it's certainly part of the system, so, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, I'm suggesting that's how the Rambam read the Tanaim. So, since I have unbelievable, you know, faith in the Rambam, I obviously think that that's very possible, right? I'm not saying like, oh, the Rambam got it, you know, Tanoim don't think that way, but the Rambam thought they did. I would never say that, because I don't think that way. Okay, so anyways, that is, I'm sorry, yeah.
Just a quick question. I think it works well with what Rebbe's been saying about Melech, that the relationship between Malach and Kohen Gadol is actually between their relationships to Shavuos Eid is actually quite close.
Well, close and different.
Close and different, but
and that's why one is
the
Shavuos
Eid
is taken care of, and the other is
right.
What's that?
More different as a matter of degree than as a matter of kind. Right?
Hard to say. Because in Kohen Gadol again, it's
the Melech before.
Because Kohen Gadol, everybody will agree, I think, that when Kohen Gadol is made, that we're Mekabel as Eidus, and that it's effective. And no one ever would say, you know, the Rambam doesn't have in Perek Yud, because the Gemara doesn't have, Andaf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, Lemute Kohen Gadol, right? It could have, it doesn't.
Isn't that
so that also implies, I mean, the Rambam's decision, right, to put Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, you know, in more modest, to phrase it in more modest terms than to put it in Hilchos Eidus, and his decision to, you know, say something much stronger and to go further than the Gemara, you know, necessarily, you know, leads us, according to Milchas Chinuch, certainly in Milchas Shavuos, is not a coincidence. So I do think that there's a qualitative difference. I just don't think that we're going to say that Melech is Mesachik, I'm sorry, that Melech is Karov or Pasol or Nashim. That I don't think is true.
I was just saying that the like if there were no Melech,
yeah.
I would have expected the Rambam to say about Kohen Gadol what he ends up saying about.
I'm not so sure.
No,
no, not necessarily because it's not a question that you have to have a hierarchy. You need somebody who's mufka legam, more legamri, or this is not miskabeles, and then you can have other people who have a lower level. I don't think that that's...
No.
I don't think so. I think it's just a function of what you really think, either the evidence or objectively, you know, should be the status of people who serve in certain functions and who have, you know, consequently are treated in certain ways, or we have to preserve and protect, you know, their distinctiveness. I don't think so. Okay, so just to get for the record, so that's a suggestion for the Rambam, but I say then you have to explain Rabbi Kiva and the other Shita in a very interesting way, I think. I believe in this answer, but as I say, it's to be quite honest about it. I've never seen anybody suggest it, and everybody else is looking for Hechatimtzi, and I totally understand that. So some of the Hechatimtzi answers are quite interesting. I just want to mention them very quickly, but yeah, I said.
why would Ram say like Korban al Shavuos Eidus, the Korban al Shavuos Eidus? It sounds like they're
could be. It's a good question, or maybe I'm not sure whether Chayav. I'm not sure which language, frankly, is which is better, which is worse. I think it's an interesting question to weigh those different lashonos, but I don't know whether Chayavin you know, would be you think of Chayavin more abstract and Mevi'in is more practical. But I'm not so sure that it isn't the opposite. You know, they're the parsha of maybe as a karban. I think it goes back to the language of I have to check again, language of the Mishnayos and so on. You know that you're, you know, I think that's a language that they use in a Horios context. Again, to translate the words and like the way that we think, like if you woke me up in the middle of the night and asked me, I would probably say what you're saying. In other words, that chayavin is a more abstract obligation, and Mevi'in is more pragmatic. But I don't think it's necessarily true from a shkagos horios. I think, you know, Mevi'in karbanos often means, you know, is in the parsha to be maybe karbanos.
But
either way, it's a point.
What's the advantage of including Shuras Eidos anyway? Meaning he made the point with Shuras Bidoy and Tumas Mikdash.
No, I think in contrast, Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that if Lemaisa, right, you're not going to bring a certain karban, so then that kind of has impact in defining you, you know, within, you know, the world of karbanos. I think what the Rambam is saying, no, it doesn't, because this is just purely pragmatic, and he is in the parsha of Mevi'in karbanos. So I think you have to say that about each case. They don't have to be the same, right? That in each case you want to assess that, because if it's some fundamental reason, you know, then it's more likely that it is causative, not just reflective, or not just a coincidence. So that doesn't bother me. But I think your other point is more of a good question. But I'm just not sure about the Lashonos. But yeah.
The third answer, the Tosafos Yom Kippurim, seems rather similar to what Rebbe is saying. I mean, he doesn't
yeah.
the whole conceptual
He
idea,
just doesn't but, explain. Like, right. He well, basically says the Ram. Yeah, exactly. So let me talk about the three answers very quickly of the Tosafos Yom Kippurim, otherwise known, because Yeshiva is learning Masachat Sukkah, as, you know, it's published in the book called Kapos Tamarim. Yeah. So, what are the three answers of the... Just to give some other examples and issues that are quite interesting in their own right, but quickly... Adam, so what do you have? There are three answers that they get that the Tosafos Yom Kippurim gives. First one,
is that another melech?
Yeah, being made lemelech acher. So that's very interesting. Question is, can you have, you know, is there such a thing? Hechatimtzi. There's some discussion in the Achronim about that, about being made lemelech acher, in terms of recognition. Even Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Beis David is an interesting question. What about, you know, a melech who has tzaras, so, you know, while he has tzaras, he doesn't have the status of melech. That's what some of the Achronim suggest. But when you're not functioning as melech, so do you lose, you know, an aspect of Malchus that would justify this? That's one issue in question. The second question is, whether a melech really could be made lemelech acher. Because the paradigm is the Kohen Gadol, right, who's made lemelech. So that's, again, a Minchas Chinuch comment. Minchas Chinuch says, great, a Kohen Gadol can be made lemelech because a melech is higher in the hierarchy. But that doesn't mean a melech can be made lemelech just because he isn't lower in the hierarchy. Maybe he needs to be higher in the hierarchy, right? So that's so there are two interesting questions. One is just, you know, what does it mean for there to be two melechs at the same time? By definition, you know, what level does that other melech? And again, if we're talking about Malchus Yisrael, Malchus Beis David, that's an interesting question. And if we're talking about a melech who's momentarily or maybe permanently deposed, the status of melech and Kohen Gadol after they're no longer functioning is a fascinating question, right? And we sometimes say, you know, this is a very, you know, big theme for Reb Chaim, that, you know, there are two dinim of melech and there are two dinim of Kohen Gadol, and they don't necessarily, they're parallel, these questions, but they don't, the balance between them could be different between melech and Kohen Gadol. That's a fascinating question. The two dinim being the kedusha and the minui. In other words, there is a certain... there are certain dinim that flow from the minui, from the appointment, and from the, you know, actual the job itself of melech, right? The functional aspect of the job, and typically an act of minui melech right, basically does two things at the same time. It gives you that binui, that function, and it also gives you a certain kedusha. Sometimes we think that you can split between those two things, both in Melech and in Kohen Gadol. Like when a president is no longer the president, although there might be a difference between being impeached, his term just, ending, terminating. So, they still call him, Mr. President.
Is that
right?
True?
Yeah.
Even if impeachment goes through, like if the Senate...
No, I said in impeachment, it's a question. But in termination...
Oh, yeah.
It's not a question. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, again, in our time...
We've never had anybody.
President Nixon was still President Nixon, but he didn't get impeached in the end because he resigned.
He was impeached, it's just the Senate.
Well, right? There was impeachment process, but he resigned before he was actually impeached.
I believe the House impeaches, the Senate tries. And this is an argument.
He wasn't, in other words, there was no conclusion to the impeachment process in the case of Nixon. I was a very close advisor. I know this very well. So that's an interesting question. But they kept calling him, President Nixon. Certainly David Frost did. Somebody who's a Nixon aficionado in the crowd.
I
understand. Fascinating man, fascinating case. Although we have to say that he deserves a lot of hakaras hatov for coming through for Israel in 1973. But that's a different topic. That's like an interesting, very interesting question for Kohen. Kohen Gadol who has to step aside. Because of Tumah or other things. So he returns to his job. Or what about Kohen Gadol who leaves the job, right? So both Melech and Kohen Gadol, have a certain kedusha that outlasts, but is triggered by the minui. Which are the dinim of minui? Which are the dinim of kedusha? Can you separate them to begin with? And so on. So this is part of the question of Melech being made for Melech. And again, I don't want to go into detail, but it's a parallel question for both, and possibly handled differently. But that is one issue. According to that view of the, Tosef Siyom Kippurim. So again, a very interesting debate emerges. This is what I was saying a moment ago. I'm not the only one, although certainly I'm making the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Shimon, the Chachamim, whatever it is. I'm making it into a very, very subtle argument, but a very important argument. But you have to do that no matter what, because Rabbi Akiva is saying something very compelling. So the argument, if you want to say something in the other direction, then you have to explain to Rabbi Akiva. So it ends up that Rabbi Akiva and the others are arguing about whether a melech can be made for a melech. So is that about, again, just is that a malchus argument? Right? Or does that end up being also a korban shvuas ha'edus argument? Meaning, let's say you're mufka mi'edus from practically anybody, but there's one person you can be made for, so is that enough to make you chayv korban shvuas ha'edus in that particular case? Right? Now, the way the Tosafot Yom Kippurim formulates it, he does not seem to think that it is a Korban Shavuos Eidos argument. He seems to think, there seems to be like a separate argument, maybe on this particular Nakuda, this point, about whether Melech can be made for another Melech, and all the issues that I just mentioned very briefly. But in light of the Tosefes, the Tosas Yom Tov, which we'll get to in just a second, maybe we should say, we should say what I just said, which we'll get back to. Okay, that's one possibility. Equally subtle and interesting, second idea.
He took this shvua when he was a hedyot.
When he was a hedyot, and then, I'm not sure why they made him a melech if he was lying when he was a hedyot, right? Right?
The only determined
that's
that
like the
lying.
Nixon thing again.
Right. The only determined that he was lying after he became a melech.
Yeah, I'm just joking.
But he did. Right.
I mean, assuming that's the first time he lied. But
there's the whole thing.
On the impeachment part, 100%. Okay. So, anyways, the. What's that? Again, he was kofer and he was nijba and he was mapsid mamon, in his if he had agreed right at that point, there would have been a key of carbon shua sa'edos. Correct?
Doesn't the Rambam
pass the Rambam passing the idea of carbon head in
that case? Yeah, correct. Okay, in all cases.
I mean, in terms of carbon melech, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has a
resolution. So you're asking what? I think that the Tosafot Yom Kippur mentions that
right.
Issue.
Right, he's saying that.
I mean, you're asking like this. You're saying, no, so what? So according to the Chachamim, right, we'll paskin in this case, according to the Rambam, that there's a carbon. There is a chi of carbon shua seidus. That would be fine.
There is a
chi of carbon shua seidus in this case. Because if he lied when he was a hedjot and now he's a melech,
right,
that would be the case where the melech is mate, and that would work very nicely with the language of Mevian as opposed to chayavin.
What I'm saying is that for these three cases, you
bring according to the shas and mechayev, right?
No,
the other way? Even in... So that would be against this.
Right.
Oh, okay. I thought he didn't in the case of... I mean, why would Korban Shua Seidus be different?
Yeah.
Because he should have passed like Rabbi Akiva then. Let me see. I have the language. Let me just see if the... I have to look at that. I have to check that out. I'm not sure. That's a very good point. I thought he said the other way. The second one here. Odeh shomad olam melech ena meir upata mishvua sa'edus miu kishish biyu shvua sa'edus bo dehed yod v'achakak nismana melech stamas nisan dehorio sabor dehanasi chayev lahavi karban olaviorid babur mashin nishba ba'odo hed yod lo heid. I thought that's what he was trying to say. I've checked the Rambam's talk. Rabbi Akiva Sabar, Kivin de Nismana Lamelech, Enochayv Lahavi Karban, Kivin de Hashta Enoroi Lahoid, Benochayv Shuasa Eidos. Ubezehu de Pasak de Lok Rabbi Akiva. Vim Kain Masha Kasab Hilfos Shuas de Melech Pator, that Kishesh Biu Ba'oda Melech. Okay, I'll have to check. You checked it?
The Rambam in Tesbav Yetzes.
In Chicago. Yeah. He is kehedjo.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I thought this isn't saying that normally you would be in the balance of these three.
I thought Rabbi Akiva would be saying that it depends on his status now, Bishas Havasa Karban, not Bishas the Mechayev. And the Ram says, no, we don't paskin that. We paskin it. It depends on the Shas Shua.
On the Shas
Shua. Yeah. That's good.
Just
I thought you were saying the other way. Okay. I'm totally misunderstanding you, or...
Because the Rambam is also talking about the Rambam that the Melech will do before he's in Smana, who's been covering Hedyot after he's in Smana, right?
The Ram says whatever he did as a Hedyot, he brings as a Hedyot. He brings even as a Melech. No?
He brings a hedyot, even if he didn't smell that. He brings a carbon hedyot.
He brings a carbon hedyot. Well, either way, the question here is not a carbon hedyot or a carbon melech. The question here is that he is, if this had taken place, if he had been nishba l'sheker, when he was a melech, so he would not bring a carbon shvua seidos, but he was nishba l'sheker when he was a hedyot. So the Rambam says, and you treat it, then therefore he brings a carbon shvua seidos. Right. You're asking cases where there's a discrepancy between the actual korban that you bring. That's something else. But okay, that's not a problem. Okay, But again, this is an interesting question. Does it depend? And again, Rabbi Akiva, the Chiddush is again, Rabbi Akiva saying something very subtle. Rabbi Akiva is saying that the korban, avos korban of Shvuas HaEdus depends not on his status. Because again, he was made, he had a shame aid. He was maksid mamon, because had he testified at that point, it would have been, so what? And it's a din in the korban, meaning he's mufka on the korban. In a way, Rabbi Akiva is saying something about being mufka on the korban, which actually is, again, parallel a little bit to what I'm trying to say. Right, that it's, you know, whatever the result is, there's a certain din korban here that's affected. What's the third one? That's what you were mentioning.
He basically
lav dafka's everything, right?
He says the point of the halacha is to tell you that they would be chayiv these korbanos for whatever applications they would be chayiv.
Right, exactly. Although he doesn't say it exactly as I'm saying it, but it's close. Ode shlomo de kulu tanai de horios kulu sabri de melech pater mishuas edus deina roi lahoid kesfar sor bekiva masha shaninu al shmias kol abitus asayim al tomas vikter kansha v'sar anasi al mashiach hayavim lo koi chaluka de nasi ala chaluka de shayich pei dehainu bitui v'tumas vikter shakadashav. And that's what the Rambam meant in Pirsha Mishnah is too. It's very hard to say that, but again, it ends up very close to what I'm saying. Okay. Anyways, those are the three of the, what does the Tosfos Yontif say, just to get back to that? Tosfos Yontif is a very fascinating, because he does make it to do a din of korban shvuas edus from Rabbi Akiva. What's fascinating about the Tosfos Yom Tov? Oh, I have it on the other side of this. What's fascinating about the Tosfos Yom Tov, again, all these interpretations end up being, you know, more interesting about Rabbi Akiva than they do about the Rambam. Avagav de mukmina and hasa de malcha Yisrael. Right? Says the Tosfos Yom Tov. Right? Kasafti gam sham de lo imait malcha beis David min lo meimeid. So basically, Tosfos Yom Tov says that the difference, and not like the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, two or three, however you want to call it, right? But the idea that we're dealing with a case, let's say Melech is made benefashos, right? So that's the Heichetimtsi. Right? And then, right. So then he adds, so what are you going to do with, what does Rabbi Akiva hold about that? So he could have said that Rabbi Akiva disagrees, there's an argument, there's a side argument in Hilchos Korban Shvuas Eidos between, or Hilchos Eidos between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, whether or not a melech is made benefashos. Right? In the same way that, like, the Tosafos Yom Kippurim is suggesting, oh, there's an incidental argument about, you know, melech being made lemelech, about melech, you know, bringing a korban, you know, when he was mishaker and mafsid when he was a hedjot. I'm suggesting both of those things might be about korban shvuas edus too, right? But, you know, he didn't say it that way. But this, the Tosfos Yom Tov is clear about. He says, usvilei l'Rabbi Akiva, dekivin de'ena nasi b'chlal edus, hilkoch lo shayach shmias kol afilu be'edus sheicholin l'hoid. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva will agree that he can be made bedine, that he's supposed to be made bedine nefashos. But even though he is made bedine nefashos, and therefore he has a shame aid lugabi nefashos, whatever you want to call it, he's mapsid mamon. But Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there's no korban shvuas ha'edus in this case, since in general he's mufka me'edus. Wow. Meaning, two assumptions. Number one, because you might have said, where he's mufka, he's mufka. Where he's not mufka, he's not mufka. And especially, he's only mufka because of zilzul, kavod, you know, something like that. So actually, he has a shemaid. I might have said that, you know, in other words, even if you're trying to define in a more predominant, you know, objective way, like what's his status in Eidos, and saying that, you know, his status in Eidos, you know, as opposed to the particular case of Hefsed Mamon and his effectiveness here is Koveya, right? So what dictates, right, the exception or the rule? In other words, let me take one step back. The Tosfos Yom Tov's shot in Rabbi Akiva, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. That's what the Rambam's telling us. But it's Rabbi Akiva. We have, what he thinks about Shavuos Eidos is enormously important, right? So according to Tosfos Yontif's reading of Rabbi Akiva, there are really, I think, two important assumptions. One is that Chiyuv Korban Shavuos Eidos depends on his general status, right, in Eidos. In other words, that you can have somebody who is effective, even B'toras Eidos. I'm not talking about his B'toras Neman or Kiblu Alai here. That's what we're talking about. In other words, in the Fashos, we're saying that a Melech, you know, is Chayiv Lahoid, and he's made, and he has a Shemaid. Right? So he has a Shemaid, he's Machsid Mamon, let's assume. Otherwise, there's no Korban Shavuos Eidos. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he's Potter. Why? Because generally, right, he is excluded. So there are two huge assumptions here. One is that any individual Chiyuv Korban Shavuos Eidos depends on his general status, right, in as a Shemaid, right, or in Chiyuv Hagadah. So if in general he is Mufka Michiyav Agada, notwithstanding a particular exception, if in general he can't be Mafsid Mamon, let's say, even though here he's Mafsid Mamon, the Torah Shemaid, even, and we're talking here about this case, there's still no Korban Shavuos Eidos. That's assumption number one, and that is what I'm really interested in, frankly. There's a second assumption, and that is, you could have just said, you know what, the Melech, it's true that in 99% of the cases, he is not, you know, shayach to Korban Shavuos Eidos. But the 1% is more significant, legally and formally, than the 99. Because the 1% shows that he has a shemaid. Right? And that's what's important. Just that usually, since he doesn't have a chiyuv agada, and according to the Rambam, you know, he also, therefore, we're not mekabel his eidos even, goes further. So lemaisa, there ever never is. But in the one case where there is, that's the real case. And Rabbi Akiva is saying that's not true. Rabbi Akiva is saying, nefashos, he has a shemaid, right? And or there's kabbalah seidos, and therefore in shemaid. But since in general there's no kabbalah seidos, or maybe even no shemaid, or certainly no chiyuv agada, right? That reality dictates Korban Shavuos Eidos Chiyuv, even in the case where he is Mafsid Mamon, he's obligated to be made, and we're Makabale do so. Wow! That is just extraordinary. Both of these assumptions are extraordinary. So that's what Tosfos Yontif says. Now, on the idea that, like, you know, we care about his general status rather than in, even if we know that in this particular case, you know, it's an exception and a full exception. Again, not Nemanus here. It's not Eid Mipi'eid. It's not Isha. It's not, you know, Eid Echad. It's not Kiblu Alai. None of that stuff that we normally understand very easily is applicable here. So the Rashash, just on the Mishnah here, says, Masha Kosov Rabbi Kiva Kivin Eina Nasi V'chula Hilka Chafila Be'edashi Cholin Lahoid L'hachi Lo Palig Lo Pasak Aramam Kivase. He says, Divrei Teimahein, Tosh Shavuos Eidos Einena Ela B'Tfias Mamon. I'm sorry. B'Gufein Roy Lahoid. No, that's the other question. Sorry. Okay. Wrong question. One, wrong one. One second. Okay, I'm not finding it here. But the... No. Okay. Maybe it's one of the guys in the back. Some of the Nosei Kalim here, just on the Mishnayos, when they quote this Tosfos Yontif, they ask this question. They say, well, why should it depend on his general status? Okay, sorry, not the Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it's Feres Yaakov. I don't know. Somebody on the page here. But this is what he says. Then he goes on and he says, however, I don't know what to do with the Stira and the Rambam. Okay, so the other notes that Kalim say, two things. Number one, what I just wrote. What do you mean? He's explaining Dinei Nefashos. Dinei Nefashos isn't going to help you for Korban Shavuos Eidos. So they say, again, to Feres Yisrael, and you know, all the Achronim can end up saying this, you know, that, oh, we're talking about a case of Afrushe Misura or Dinei Nefashos, where there's a monetary component. right? So then you have everything you want and need. That's what they say for, or taking, you know, explaining the Tosas Yom. The Minchas Chinuch goes a little bit further, actually. Right, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Chaf Gimel. Anybody see it? Yeah, Alex?
He says that since the Melech would be chayev in a case of nefashos, so to be made, so then that gives him a shei made. Once he has a shei made, so even in a case where he would give edus aid me the aid, that's also going to be, he's going to be chayev for karban shavuos edus even then, because it's a shame. Right.
So what he adds to the mix that others don't say is that he still doesn't think that you can compromise Kavod Melech. And you're 100% right, exactly the way you said it. What he says is you need a shame aid, right? Not just effectiveness, not just Hefsed Mamon, not just Shtika or Kvisha Sejus Shel Hefsed Mamon. Why do you need that? Because he's been writing all along, you know, wherever you can, you know, find it, you know, in Lamed Zayin and in Ayin Hay and Kufkap Beis and Kufkap Gimel, like, you know, we know the Minchas Chinuch already, right? He's been writing all along that, you know, Isha, you know, Be'edus Habal is not going to work, and typically, you know, Krovim Upsulim are not going to work, you know, whether when it's based on Nemanus, right? So you need a Shemaid, right? But at the end of the day, he's still troubled because he's not so on board with the idea, you know, that that Melech, you know, is going to be made directly in Bezdin in a case of even Nefashos or Isurim. So at the end of the day, and this also helps him with the Diuk, so his Diuk in the Rambam in Perek Yud HaShuos is, oh, that's when he comes as a part of Tu Edim. And it's a double diuk, in other words. He's part of Tu'edim and he comes to court. And in Perek Yud, Hilchos Shgagos, he's talking about a case where he sits at home and he's made through Eid Mipi'ed. You know, so it's double. But other Mepharshim didn't go that far. They just went into the middle case. They just said, oh, Chiyav Nefashos with a mumminous impact. You know, so he's, you know, Mechuyav Lahayid and he's in Beis Din. And he's made, and then there's a few edus. For them, the bigger problem is to explain, so what about Rabbi Akiva? Yeah.
But I'm just saying that it's not focused on
yeah. I mean, if you take the view.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he has a problem with the actual answer, but the problem is just that according to the Kesem Mishnah, it's impossible to say because now if you can't testify in the case of compulsions.
Right. I'm saying he's trying to cover the view that says that there's a difference between Melech and Kohen Gadol, or maybe Melech and Kohen Gadol and Tamachacha. So if that's the case, you're still. But I said that helped. He likes it because it helps his. It helps the diuk of, I think, of the difference between, you know, Perek Yud and. You know, just read the line very quickly.
That
was an enormously influential Rashi. Aval beiser kagon edim miso tuma lo mi boil das halacha mishnah v'mishnah lamelech. The beiser tzarich hamelech gam ken lahayid imken meshkachas the chayv korban shuv beed miso tuma. Afim nomer kadas exactly what he said. Kadas a keset mishnah dein tzarich lelech lifnei bezdin. Mikomakom b'makom deid echad mahani kagon eid misa imkein heichad amelech nishba v'hu eid misa dein tzarech lahoy diachal lomar bebeis the yuchal lomar bebeso la'acher deid mipied kosher in kim bevadayim nishbal sheker chayiv korban shua bevaday tzorich lahoid bebeso vein tzorich lamod lo lifnei bezdin, right? Rak bebeso madua yipater mimitzvah zu v'chayiv lahoid v'chayiv korban shua achamokam tzorich shnei edim vaday tzorich lamod bifnei bezdin kiyadua delomahani eid mipied im kain Eino chayev. Okay, the Rambam nechone. We bedikta kosav oshahaya echad me'edav. Hainu b'makom shetzorich shnayim. Avu b'makom ein tzorich shnayim. Ein tzorich din edus klal. Kiyadua. B'yachel ahayid b'beiso. B'derech sicha. B'yoshev al kiso. B'im kein b'nishbach hayev korban shua. Kein nirali. So I'm just saying, I think he mentions the three answers of the Tosafot Yom Kippurim. But I think the point is that he's pushed into it for that reason. He likes it because he thinks it strengthens the diuk of the discrepancy between Perek Yud Chashuas and Perek, but it doesn't really matter so much. Okay, you get the basic idea. The basic idea is clear in terms of some of these kilukim, and in the end of the day, again, you know, within the worldview of either the Minchas Chinuch or the others on the Mishnayos who are giving those answers, you just have to explain. I mean, there's still a question to ask, because the Minchas Chinuch himself knew that the Rambam said that ein eduso edus in Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, right? So, you know, that's a little bit of a hedge, you know, against saying that there's a shame aid, you know, all the time. I mean, what makes that different than Isha and Karov and Pasul? Bishloma, anybody but the Rambam who thinks that maybe there's no Chiyav Agada, and therefore, but you know, you sit home, but eduso edus, but what are you going to say for the Rambam? So you just have to add that, you know, again, what I said before, that though the Rambam thinks in eduso edus, which is a chiddush, you know, it that does not turn Melech into an aid apostle. I mean, again, in Hilchos Edus, Perek Tes, which we also discussed, right? When the Rambam has 10 psulim, you know, Melech is not on the list. I ain't eduso edus. The answer is because there are exceptions, if there are exceptions. And again, as I said before, Perek Gimel Hilchos Melachim, I think, can be answered in different ways. And from my point of view, maybe the best answer is that, you know, you'll come to court and you'll testify, but that isn't necessarily enough for Korban Shuas Edus for the Rama. But for the Minchas Chinuch and others, you know, you could ask, like, you know, how come, you know, Perek Tes Hilchos Edus doesn't register Melech? But the answer is, because it's not a psul, right? It's a psul kabbalas edus that results from there being no chiyuv agada, and that's different. Or in a roi lahayid, in a roshoy lahayid, whatever you want, that's still different than, you know, isha and karov and pasul and so on. I don't know what he would say about, you know, melech bekiblu alai according to the Rambam. No way to know, right? But definitely something to think about. Okay, good. That's Melech. So now let's talk about the next Gemara. We have let's start it just for a minute, so we can start. Joey, you want to do the honors? What are we up to? Dunmino, Bukubiachim. That quickly. I just want to make a quick point, and then we'll talk about Shkagos on Tuesday, and I'll give you more Marmakomos for. And then again, Lamed Bey, Samad Aleph, I want to talk about Eid Echad. I'll give you Marmakomos tomorrow about that. But first, we'll finish the Shkagos ones. Go ahead, Joey. We've read this Gemara before, but we didn't read all of it, and I just want to make an additional Ha'ara. If we didn't make it then, I don't think we did. Go ahead. Bifnei bezin shalom, bifnei bezin ma. Chulei, go ahead. Eidus.
Eidus, they release and make the
Okay.
Rabbanu Sarei,
Excellent. Well read. Okay, so we have this machlokas, dumino biyakubiatra, and that's the yisod of the machlokas from Meir and the chachamim regarding whether or not mi pi atzmo and shvus edus requires bezd. Correct? Joey? So far, so good? Okay. Go ahead. Amalahu, just go through Shakvatari first, and then we'll just make it. Meaning what? If the kodam was the makar for mipiatsmo, then we should always say dun mina umina. Ah. Lock, stock, and barrel, right? Is that what you mean? What does dun mina umina mean? Lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh.
Yeah. What does domino biyakubiatra mean?
You have to take into account the context that you're...
Context determines. Correct. So really, this is a machlokas, as I like to say, about immigration. Or is it immigration or emigration?
Depends whether it's two.
Is it absorption and a melting pot? Right? Or the maintenance of, you know, the distinctive characteristics of the immigrant? Correct? Yes or no?
Okay.
Lock, stock, and barrel. Lock, stock, and barrel, or, right, you want to integrate into a new society, right, you have to shed a little bit of the, you know, your previous identity.
Joe's a pro-wall guy.
That's kind of a little bit what I'm getting at, but what I want to try to show... I'm saying it in a little bit of a little over the top dramatic way, melodramatic way, we'll just say, maybe so. But I'm not you know, exaggerating so much, right? Right, Joey? So domino mino or domino vi ukabiatra? And the reason I'm saying it this way is because, like all extreme policy views, right, you know, if they're too extreme, you know, they provoke, you know, resistance. Correct? I mean, if I said to you, what's your policy, Joey, what's your policy on immigration? Right? Would you say total absorption? You know, the melting pot? Or would you say, you know, the maintenance of cultural identity? You know, lo shino l'shamam, lo shino l'shonam, lo shino mabusham. Very good. Yeah. So, or would you say it depends? Like somebody comes from the old country, right? So, do they have to follow the laws of the new country? Should they learn the language? What? Right? I mean, so the truth is, I mean, what's fascinating about this Gemara is, if I ever asked you, is a legal immigration question, right? You have a law, it comes from somewhere else, it's being applied here, and we really want to know whether it's lock, stock, and barrel. You know, it comes from there, and therefore it retains all of its characteristics. Or it's being applied here, and therefore it absorbs, right, the local requirements. But those, the point I just want to make very briefly and simply is that while there could be, there always is, you know, from the beginning of time when people have, you know, relocated, there's always been this discussion, right? You know, what's the best policy, educationally, socially? You know, in terms of rights, if you live in a place and you come from another place, right? How do you define identity, right? And how do you define, national identification, cultural identification? But the point is, there could be a certain default. This is about law, of course, not about real immigration, right? You bring, you know, a certain halakha from somewhere else. Kicha kicha misteyafra, right? So Kiddushei Kesef is derived from the acquisition of the Maris HaMachpel, right? So to what extent, does it then integrate into the context of Kiddushin? We know it from there, but it gets transmuted when it's applied here. Or does it continue, to be driven by its origins? Right? That's last year we learned Masachi Kiddushin, those who were here. We know that's a big issue, right? That's what the Bali Tosis were kind of discuss, what the Rishonim were discussing out of Gimel Amud Aleph, when they wanted to know, whether or not Kinyan Sudar, Chalipin applies to Isha, right? And Tosis says, well, how come we don't say that we learn everything from Sada? Right? What do we learn? What don't we learn when you have a source? So Durminov, the Ukabiatra is something very, is a very important legal question. In the derivation of dinim from one context in halacha to another, right? Lock, stock, and barrel, or absorption. But the point I'm trying to make is, it can be, either view can be too extreme. That you would say about all things the same, it's mutually exclusive, it's one or the other about everything. Here we're talking about whether or not Mipiatzmo, right, has to be bebezd. You'll see where this is going in just one more second, correct? But would you say this about other halachos too? Let's say I said to you, Joey, given your extreme views about, immigration, so what do you think about a car of apostle being chayiv for Shavuos Eidos Mipiatzmo? Mipiatzmo was derived from Shavuos Avikaron, right? Right? You don't need Roy Lahoid, just like you don't need a Bezdin. So according to Rabbi Meir, why not say that Karv Apostle is Chai for Karv and Shuas Eidus Mipiatzmo? Who discusses this question? Quoting? Exactly. That's the Yerushalmi's discussion. And there, as we already noted, it seems like either there are two ways to read the Yerushalmi. Either the Yerushalmi says no, 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 right? Or the Yerushalmi says, okay, Rabbi Meir holds that way. Correct? And that's unless you say it's talking about kibbutz olai and so on, we had that discussion, but that's exactly the Yerushalmi that the Rajba quotes. The Rashash here on this daf also asks this question. He says, if you're saying dun mina, umina, according to Rabbi Meir, so what about Karav Apostle? I think he asks this question, but somebody can see if they can find it. So let me ask it in a different way. The Tosas Yom Tov and Menachos, again, and other achronim as well, just point out that if you look at the Masoros HaShas here, right? Joey? Did you prepare the Masoros HaShas? What?
No.
You came to this shir and claim that you're prepared and you didn't look at the Masoros HaShas. I'm just joking. Joey is,
Shouldn't we deport him to a different shir given his views on
immigration? Right. Joey is so good that we can joke with him. What does it say in the Masoros HaShas? On the side, of the right side of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. What? You found the Rashash? Yeah, go ahead. You have it, Aaron?
Gemara, Marzavar, Dun, Nabi, Ora, Imke, Mithi Atzma, Mithi Atzma, Mithi Atzma, Mithi Atzma, Krogan, Sur, Nami.
Yeah, so what's he trying to say? We'll explain in 1 second. Look at the Joey. What does the Masoros HaShas say? On Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph? You have it there? You don't have it inside your Gemara?
I'm not sure exactly what they put in.
What?
I can't tell
And it says Yevamo Sain Ches Amud Beis, Bavakama Chafei Amud Beis, Sanhedrin Ayin Hei Amud Beis, Vachem Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, Menachos Samach Beis Amud Aleph and Kuvzayin Amud Aleph, Chulim Kuv Chav Amud Beis, Nida Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Did you look them all up, each one? What's the point I'm trying to make? I mean, this isn't the only place in Shas where we have a machlokas where the Dumino Mino Dumino Biyakubiatra. Correct? The Mesoros HaShas is good for that, right? He tells you the other places. So, what some Achronim ask is, Zatos Yontif's point and others, if you look at, how do we paskin here? Dumino Mino or Dumino Biyakubiatra? Lock, stock, and barrel, or full melting pot absorption? Joey? Here, in Shuas Eidus. Oh, stop in a minute. How do we pass it? Like our mayor or the Chachamim? I didn't hear what you said. Of course, right? We know we pass it like the Chachamim. The Rambam passes like the Chachamim, even though the Rabbin accused him otherwise. Correct? Yes or no? Right? So, why did the Rabbin accuse him otherwise? Because he still distinguished between Piacherim and Piatzma when it came to where the Shvuah takes place. Right? Again, we've talked about it here, and you and I have talked about it privately also. So, correct? So, this is one of the things I'm trying to make several points. We have the Rashash, correct? This question. And it gives an answer. You have the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi is saying, wow, it's really true. According to Meir, Karv Apostle is Chayev Shvuasa Eidus Bipiatzmo? Or the Rishalmi is saying, no, certainly not. Correct? Then we have some of the Achronim who are just noting. But if you look at the cases in the other places in Shas, where there's machlokas, dun mino, mino, dun mino, biyuka biatra, what you will find is that the Rambam does not paskin consistently what we would expect, which is dun mino, biuka, biuki, biatra, which is how he paskins here. Correct? So they want to know. I think they say it's like 3 and 3. Okay? So, like, what's going on? And then you have the Ravid, who makes a comment. Which Ravid am I talking about? There are two Ravids. Anybody have it? The one in Perek Tes, the one in Perek Yud. It's basically two times that the Ravid attacks the Rambam for his view about Shvua and whether it required, it must be in Bezin or not. Shvua in the case of Mipi Acher. Correct? The first time, have it, Avram? Who has it in front of them? Micha? First one's Perek, what is it, Perek Tes Halacha Yud? Yeah? Go ahead.
Right, it says, Fen Omar Le'edim Bo Bidu. Omar Ram Machaber is a Shonim Mishnah Soker, Shonim Mishnah Soker Mayor, Ben Halacha Kamoso, Ella Ben Piazza, Ben Piacher, and Inan Chavan Achiefer Basin.
Okay, so that's harsh, as we've already noted, because the Ram is explicit that Mi Piatzmo requires Kfira Bebezdin. Correct? So it's and all the Nosa Kalim are a little upset with the Ravid. Again, it's one thing to say, as Nosa Kalim do, and as we discussed, like, where did the Rambam get this chiluk from? Right? And, you know, it sounds like an echo of Rav Meir, even though we paskin like the Chacham. But the Ravid is a little harsh in saying that the Rambam paskins like Rav Meir, when whatever you want to say about the subtlety of what the Rambam is saying, it's perfectly clear that he requires Kfir Bebezin and the Piatzma. Correct? So we need to understand a little bit that harshness. Then go to the next line. Go ahead. Yeah, and that seems from the Gemara that you can definitely have a Shvua Chutz L'Bezdin and Shvua Sa'edos. Because the Gemara speaks about, we'll get to that Gemara, we're going to run through it quickly. The Gemara speaks about being kofer five times, you know, Chutz in Mishnah. But five times chutz lebezdin, you know, and then, you know, if you're moda, as opposed to being, or if you're kofar in the end, or if you're moda in the end, so obviously you could take the shvua chutz lebezdin. That second point of the Ravid, was, you know, A, that the evidence of the Gemara seems to establish that you can be nishba chutz lebezdin, B, why should there be a difference? That's much more reasonable, correct? Then you have the one in Perek Yud. What they're there, what's fascinating about the Ravid is that he, I think, out of character, you know, just wastes a lot of ink on writing over the Gemara, our Gemara. You have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. So what's striking to me, again, this is just an instinct, is this a very, very, number one, it's a second Ravid, he already said it. Number two is he's just quoting a lot of Dun Mina V'Yukabiyatra, not only about Shuas Aedus, but about Shuas HaPikadon, unnecessarily. Right? Even though he's acknowledging here that the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rav Meir. So I think what really bothered the Ravid was, and this goes back to, you know, our you know, analysis of the relationship between Piacher and Piatzmo and so on, is that he was saying, listen, you know, even, and I understand you don't really paskin like Rav Meir, but Mimanavshach, since the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim is about don mina v'yukabiyatra, namely, right? Do you think that, you know, immigration is absolute absorption? It's a melting pot, right? Or do you think that, you know, you take people who come from somewhere else, or you take a halacha that comes from somewhere else, and the integrity of what it is, you know, has to be preserved and protected. Otherwise, it's not, you're not, what are you bringing, you know? You're bringing it from there and it's becoming something else. If that's the issue, so then really what we're asking is whether, mipiatmo basically comes from, you know, the world of Pikadon. Mipiacherim comes from the world of Shvuas Aedus. And therefore, the question of distinguishing between them, right, should be determined by this, call it epistemological, whatever you want to call it, question of when you have a hekesh or xereshava or whatever it is, whether you say dun mina v'yukki biatra, because in the end of the day, how could you distinguish? How can you hold dun mina v'yukki biatra and still distinguish between mipiatzmo and piacherim? We're taking a melting pot absorption perspective. Just like same issue in Pikadon. Right? We're not saying in Shuas HaPikadon that Mipiacherim has to be Bifnei Bezdin. We shouldn't be saying that there's a difference between Shvua Bebezdin and Shvua Chutz Bebezdin from Mipiatzmo and Piacherim here either. In other words, not that we don't understand that technically the Rambam is passing like the Chachamim. We're saying if you're going to paskin like the Chachamim, then be consistent. Again, going back to what we talked about before, the Rambam will answer, just because I paskin like the Chachamim doesn't mean that I think that there are no differences between the Piatzmo and Piacherim. Right? It just means I don't think that particular massive one, namely whether you need Bezdin for Kvira, is a nafkamina. Right? So, just to make it clear. We have A, the Rashash Yerushalmi. B, the question some Achronim have, how come the Rambam paskins dun mina v'mina some places and dun mina v'yukki biatra other places? And then we have this really interesting exchange between the Rambam and the Ravid, where I think the Ravid is saying, I really know that you paskin like the Chachamim. What I'm really saying is, if you paskin like the Chachamim and you're saying dun mina v'yukki biatra, then you should be much more consistent. Even though the Ravid knows that the Rambam doesn't always paskin dun mina umina either, but at least he's saying here. So what's the answer? In the end of the day, it goes back to what, you know, Joey's good instincts, which are that, you know, any extreme, you know, whether it's an actual immigration or the immigration or exportation of a halacha, you know, is likely to be inaccurate. Because in the end of the day, you can't isolate, right, the epistemological question, like how do we learn this and where do we learn it from some other issues too, right? There's always going to be some core definitional questions. In other words, it may be that the nature of Shavuos HaEdus is such that it, you know, has to be Bifnei Bezdin, or at least has to be B'mi Sharoi Lahaid. In other words, if I say, oh, I want a melting pot, but that doesn't mean I have to obliterate the integrity of the... You could destroy somebody by melting pot then, right? By absorbing them too much. You want them to feel and to be part of the society in which they now find themselves. You want them to contribute to that. You want them to be comfortable and be able to flourish and thrive in that, right? But that doesn't... But if you obliterate their memories or their identity or everything... you know, that is, you know, has defined that core, then you've done a terrible, there's nothing to absorb, essentially. On the other hand, you know, if somebody or something comes into a new context, you know, how can it ignore the new realities and the new meanings that are connected with those new realities? So part of the Dun Mino, there for sure is a debate about Dun Mino Mino, Dun Mino Biyuka Biatra, right? And for sure, no matter what you say, you cannot ignore certain core aspects of a source, that's where things come from, and the retention of a certain core, and you cannot completely ignore, right, the needs, the requirements of a new framework and a new context. And that's exactly what the Rambam is telling you. Number one, I sometimes paskin dun mino mino, and I sometimes paskin dun mino v'yuke biatra. It depends maybe on the particular halachos. Are these more import-type halachos or more export-type halachos? Okay, what determines that? Probably the reconstruction of other evidence. Moreover, even when I paskin dun mino, right, v'yuke biatra, or dun mino mino, right, there always is going to be some allowance for things that are core and definitional. So, actually, take the Yerushalmi, I think it's a great example. So, isn't the Yerushalmi really wondering whether there's any difference between the question of Bifnei Bezdin, Kfir of Bifnei Bezdin, and Shame Aid? And I think that's what the Rosh Hashanah is answering to. So let's just invoke again, you know, the Rashi, the Ramban, and the Nebuka Yosef on the Kofayim and Beis. And even if we didn't know of them, you know, we would have anticipated them. Meaning, the idea that for Shavuos HaEdus you need a shame aid, that seems core and definitional much more so than Kfir of the Bezdin. Right? What makes it Shavuos HaEdus if he's not an aid? But maybe if he is a shame aid, even if his Kfirah takes place, goes to the Bezdin, since he has a Chiyuv HaGadol to come to Bezdin, maybe that's still a chalos of Shavuos HaEdus. Or no, maybe it's b'makom, right, shekofer umafsid dafka. So if you had to draw the line, the Yerushalmis and the Rashash, they're saying, even Shemaid Rav Meir should say, dun mina umina. That far, we don't go. And the Rambam will say, listen, in the end of the day, you need b'makom, you need that the kfira, even in mipiatzmo, you know, be b'makom, you know, imhaya made would be effective. Moreover, where there's a din where it's a real hefsid because kivin shehigid shuvin achozer magid, as opposed to just changing your mind. So the kfira has to be bebezid, but it doesn't necessarily mean that when it comes to the question whether the shvua has to be in bezin, that we can't make chilukim between the piatzo and piacherim, that we can't recognize that there are differences either based on where it came from, shvuas habikanon. Or maybe even quite separate from that, just because, you know, there are other reasons to understand that compensation. Okay, let's finish up. I'm sorry for the late, but just finish to the two dots. Go ahead. Yeah. Kenot, right. Excellent. Good. Excellent. Yeah. I mean, that would be good, and that would make sense if this argument was only in Shuas Eidos. Right? Go ahead. Mi matis amris de lo bedun mino mino plegi? Batanan, go ahead. Because again, there the question is, you have Gezel, right? And the question is, what role does Gezel, you know, why would Gezel, in its context, why would Gezel require a Bezdin, particularly, right? That's also a core question about the Mechayev of Shuas HaPikado. So the answer is, it's a machlokas in both directions, right? About Dumino Mino, Dumino Biukubian, about the relationship between these two categories. Okay. Go ahead. So the Gemara answers my... Yeah. Okay, excellent. So this is the idea, just to the expanded treatment a little bit about Dumino Mino Mino Mikubiatra. I still want to speak about this Tosis Divra Maskel Mahahi in a quick point about, again, the Piacherim, in light of things that take 1 minute. And then I want to speak about the end... the Shigasa Gredasa and Omer Mutter and those things. And then we'll continue straight, but I really want to get, we'll do quickly some of the issues here, but I want to get to Lamed Beis, Mashbeid Echad, the Rimigash and Rashi, and then I'll give you more.